clouds and what the ladies say, green or brown or black. Come on, tie the damsels to the gin, drop us in, tie or cake the claret to the point. There's none so wise when the eyes of the river, the witches out there tonight. Come on, tie the damsels.
And joining us right now at PMPnetwork.com is Peter Knight of Steel Eyes Span, and you know, we're all been longtime fans of this group, and they have got a brand new CD that is just incredible. It's called Bedlam Born, and actually, the song we just heard a little bit of was written by Peter. It's called Who Told the Butcher. I love that song.
Great.
That's a great one.
But you have no idea what it's about, though.
It doesn't make any difference. But,
I'll let the cat out of the bag anyway. It's nothing to do with the butcher. The butcher is the name of a fly for fly fishing. And all the names in the songs are the names of flies for fly fishing.
Uh-huh.
And the line which is bring old brownie back is the brown trout. So there you go.
So we should move this interview then to the hunting and fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, it's good old folk sport, that, fly fishing.
That's funny.
Yeah,
are you calling us from England right now?
That's right.
How is it out there?
It's fantastic. Well, we got back from the States yesterday, so I'm a little jet-lagged.
Yeah.
But we had a great time. The weather's fine here. Sun's shining. It's lovely.
Cool. I wish we could say the same around here.
Is it bad? Have you got that hurricane thing going through?
It's kind of yucky around here, you know?
No.
I don't want to use, you know, such sophisticated language like yucky, but... how long have you been in Steel Eyes Band?
Well, I've been with Steel Eyes Band since the first gig. The band recorded an album called Hark the Village Wait, and then they split up. And I joined along with Martin Carthy for the first gig.
Wow. Long time.
About 30 years, yeah.
Yeah. I was just reading in the entertainment news that Bob Johnson has left the band.
Yeah, bless him. Yeah, it had enough.
Yeah.
It had enough. You know, he's a little bit older than me, and he loved the playing. He loved working on the songs. Absolutely loved the band. Never did anything else apart from Steel Eye. Never wanted to. It satisfied all his sort of musical, you know, interests.
Mm.
And it just got to the point where, you know, if we could have sort of plucked him from the comfort of his home on a stage, did a gig, and then took him back home again straight away, he would have stayed. But it just the touring got him down.
It's kind of sad. Marks a departure there that I think that he was responsible for a lot of the rocking type sound that the band had.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, but it looks like Tim may be taking over that slot, actually.
You think so?
I mean, since Tim was, you know, Rick Kent is now with us playing bass. And Tim always played bass and keyboards with us, and Tim's gone on to electric guitar, and he's, you know, you've heard the album, he's come up with some pretty sort of pretty rocky things.
Yeah. Now, Rick Kemp was a spinner a while back, right?
That's right, yeah. Rick's been out of the band 14 years.
Wow. What made him come back?
Well, we asked him to.
Well, I mean, you probably asked him to a long time ago, too, right?
Well, no, not really. I mean, if people leave the band, we respect that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I left the band at one point for a couple of years, and, you know, often it just reaches that point where you've just had enough, you know.
What was it that made you leave the band? Did you want to try to pursue some solo stuff, or...?
No, not really. I mean, that's what the publicity said, but it wasn't quite like that. I mean, the band was touring a lot. We were younger. There's always conflict in a band of one sort or another, and sometimes it just gets a bit much, and you think, I could do without this, you know.
Mm. A lot of people thought when Maddie left that the band wouldn't exist after that, but...
Absolutely.
But it did.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think the band... I mean, I'd often thought that these days the band is sort of more important than the people that are in it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it seems to have a good spirit to it, you know, and people hang in.
Well, Gay Wood certainly stepped in and took over, and
absolutely, yeah. Gay's been great.
It takes that kind of thing. Someone's got to come in and bring the band to the level they were, or even better than they were before.
Absolutely, and there's not many people that could sort of join the band, really. I mean, it's when people leave and we're sitting there wondering, you know, who to ask to be with us. You know, there's not a lot of choice out there.
Mm.
You know, the requirements to be in this band are not sort of straightforward.
You talked about the politics of the band, and I mean, the band has been together for over 30 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, there are very few bands that last, you know, 10 years, 20 some. I mean, you know, you can think of like the Rolling Stones and some of these other bands. There's a very small amount of bands that have lasted that long. Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, what's interesting about this band is that, I mean, a couple of people have said to me that I'm the sort of the surviving member of the band, but that's not strictly true, because Gabe was on the very first Eli Stan album. Dave Mattox, who's drumming with us, was on the very first Eli album. And Rick, who's just come back, was with the band for, you know, a long time.
Mm.
You know, so it's and it's lovely for me to have Rick back in the band.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
I really love this new CD.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It's nice stuff.
Yeah, we're very pleased with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've had an active role in this thing in terms of writing and things like that as well.
Yeah, yes. I mean, my interest tends to be more in writing songs than taking traditional songs. Bob was always very good at that, and Maddie was always very good at that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all have different strengths in the band.
Tell us about Poor Old Soldier.
Poor Old Soldier was inspired by Maddie leaving, actually.
Huh.
That's what inspired that song. And another song I wrote a while back was The Song Will Remain, which was suggesting that, you know, it's the song that's important, maybe, and not the singer, you know.
Well, that's probably true, though, in some ways.
Well, absolutely.
Because yeah. It's interesting, I was just on the phone a couple of days ago with Spanky McFarland from Spanky and Our Gang. I'm sure you remember them.
Okay, yeah.
And the song Sunday Will Never Be the Same was offered to a number of groups at the time who turned it down.
Mm.
And they did it and had a huge hit out of it. So sometimes that's true. But again, in your band, most of the people write the songs, so the band is the songs.
Yes, I mean, it's very interesting when we come into rehearsals, because not all the songs survive the rehearsal process. There seems to be certain songs, and if they're not sort of straight-ahead traditional songs, there seems to be certain songs that are compatible with the sort of flavor of the band, and some songs that just don't seem to work.
Mm.
And we all have to be into the song as well. We can't really afford to have any one person that doesn't like a particular song for some reason. You know, we all have to be pleased with the material.
Sure. Mm. Yeah, it's interesting to note, you just mentioned it a second ago, but Gay Woods was with the original lineup with Manny Pryor. They were both in there together.
That's right.
And they did that album, Hark, The Village Wait.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you ever think, I know you've had a couple of songs that have gone onto the charts and done well, and you certainly have a large following that buys pretty much everything you guys do.
Yeah.
But do you ever think about the commercial possibilities, you know, having number one hits and all that? Has it ever entered anybody's mind in the group?
Well, I mean, yes, of course, that has occurred to us. But, I mean, All Around My Hat for us, which I think got to number two in the singles charts and three in the album chart,
mm-hmm.
Was a mixed blessing in some ways, because after that, we started trying to write for the commercial market, and it wasn't very successful. It was neither one thing or the other. I mean, we've had two hits. One was All Around My Hat, and the other one was Gaudete.
Right.
And neither of them were designed to be hits.
Hmm.
Mike Batu, who produced All Around My Hat, heard us do it in the rehearsal room and said, "That sounds like a hit to me." But we'd actually treated it just the same as any other song. And so, if we get hits again, then it would be an accident. I don't think any of us now treat that area as a serious area or something that we consider when we're getting material together.
You put out an album of your own, Ancient Cause, in 91.
Yeah.
What were some of the things you were trying to do on that you couldn't accomplish within the band?
Well, I became very involved in free improvisation sort of 20-odd years ago, maybe a little more. And I play with other musicians in that area. And I lived in America when I recorded An Ancient Cause, and I live quite close to Shanaki Records. And what I wanted to achieve there with that CD was a sort of a combination of written and improvised. Just to stretch people. I mean, I like to stretch myself, and I don't think it's a bad thing for other people, you know, for the listener to be stretched a bit. A couple of years ago, I recorded another CD of my own, which I put out myself, which is called The Gemini Cadenza, which is completely improvised.
Hmm.
And that was received, I mean, very well.
It's interesting that, you know, we're talking about commercially successful, but you guys are actually the most commercially successful English electric folk band of all time.
Yes, we probably are.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So, and you guys tour on a semi-regular basis? And you were just in Boston, I think, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right, yes. Well, we've just done probably sort of half a dozen gigs in America.
Yeah.
And in a couple of days' time, we start an English tour, which is for a month. So we're touring around the UK in a couple of days. Start on the first gigs on the 1st of October, and the last one's on the 4th of November.
Hmm. I was reading a book that had, in their estimation, the top 100 albums of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was Pleased to See the King.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah,
it was a great album. It was a great album.
Yeah, it's a good album. And, I mean, looking back over the years, I mean, we have survived a long time. But when the band started, there was no such thing as folk rock. And it was very controversial and very relevant to the time. And I think... for us to have survived that long, really, because we've never been a nostalgia band. We've always continued to explore the possibilities. You know, it's no wonder that an album like that will be considered to be a good album.
Yeah, and I just want to recommend to folks out there that if you don't have some of the early Steel Eye Span, there's a great collection called Steel Eye Span in Concert from Park Records.
Yes.
And that's got it's got the hits on it, quote unquote, the All Around My Head and all the rest of
but
it has some great stuff on it as well.
Yeah.
It gives you a little retrospective of some of the things you guys have done.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And then, of course, if you want to check out the new one, the new album is available, I would assume, all over the place, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's also from Park Records. I didn't know that Park Records was in Massachusetts, Cambridge. Huh.
Oh, I think that, yes, they do have a connection
over
there.
They're in England and also in Cambridge, Massachusetts. They
have
an email at parkrecords at cwcom.net.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I noticed on the web, you know, there's so many things you can find on the web. There's a peterknight.net.
That's me.
That is you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great site, too. I enjoyed it. I sent a little email because I think that what you might want to do is put up a link to this interview so that your fans can check it out.
Absolutely, I'll do that.
Easy. So I'm going to put up a link on our site to your site.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
So the people listening to the interview can also go to your site as well.
Well, brilliant. Well, would you be kind enough to email me with the details of that?
I will be glad to do that.
Yeah, and I'll...
In fact, I already did.
Well, that's fantastic.
I sent you an email already this morning.
Did you really?
I'm on top of things, you know.
Well, why don't I have that?
I don't know. I sent it to Peter at peterknight.net. So you should get it.
Okay, well, I'll check in a minute, but I certainly don't have it at the moment.
Ooh, that's not good.
That's not good, is it?
No, but you can check out pmpnetwork.com yourself, and send me an email if you like.
PM?
PMP, like Peter Mary Paul.
Okay.
Network.com.
PMP?
PMP.
Network.com.
And I guess for all the folks around the country, are you have any more gigs coming up in this country?
Well, we were talking to we had a fantastic American tour manager over there, and he said because the gigs were so successful, he said you should really think about coming back soon, and we're thinking of the spring.
Okay.
If we can get it together.
You'll want to tell us about that. And also, since we have a ton of people in England listening, are you going to be touring in Europe at all?
No, we're not.
Okay.
No, we haven't actually ever done a lot of touring in Europe.
Hmm.
I don't know why. We've had a couple of gigs in Belgium recently, which were very good, but Europe, we never seem to sort of go there very much. Strange.
We've been flooded with people from England listening to the site because we have an interview up there with Julie Molland from Badfinger.
Okay.
And for some reason, he's got like millions of fans all over the world, but a lot of them in England.
Really?
And so we've been getting a ton of from emails from the UK, which is
brilliant.
Kind of cool.
Lovely.
Yeah. Now, folks, I'm going to go out and get Bedlam Born. It's the new Steel Eye Span album. And I must admit, when I was a little bit younger, I was really not into the group, but then I discovered the group a while back, and I love that kind of music. I've always liked, like, folk music, Celtic music, rock music, you know, and you guys combine it all.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think,
absolutely.
That's the key, I think, to the success you got.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and what's so lovely at the moment is that after you know, a new album, and it's a good album, we're very, very pleased with it. The one before this was a sort of transitionary stage, really. Maddie had just left. We weren't sure. The drummer had just left. The manager that we had just left, and it was really looking a bit iffy for a while.
Mm.
And we recorded Hawkstone Grange, and we didn't have drums on it initially, but everyone was so used to playing with drums that it actually sounded like someone had taken the drums off. So, you know, we got Dave Mattox in to play, and he did a good job. But this album, we rehearsed and organised the music, and Dave came into the studio with us, and it's really worked out well. We're very pleased.
Well, I think the key to it is not only the music, but the musicians playing on it, and again, the songs are really, some of them are really, really outstanding songs,
mm-hmm.
Including the few that you wrote on here as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great stuff in here. But, I mean, mm-hmm. everybody's contributed, you know.
That's right.
You did, and Bob, and...
That's right.
And pretty much
yeah.
everybody, Gay, has written some songs in here.
Yeah.
Tim.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to see that kind of thing, where
yes,
it really
absolutely.
Is a group collaboration.
Mm.
You know?
Yes, we've always encouraged that.
Well,
I mean, Tim on this album has really come into his own. I mean, he's been in the band for sort of 9 years, I think, now. And up until now, he'd come up with one song.
Hmm.
And this time, he's come up with, like, half a dozen beauties, you know.
They
so
really
it's taken
know.
Him this long to really feel settled with the band and to feel that he wanted to contribute in a wholehearted way, you know. And thank goodness he did, because his work is fantastic.
Tell me the story of the band's namesake, John Steele Ice Band.
Okay, well, there's we actually sing a song called Hawkstone Grange, which is on the album of the same name,
mm-hmm.
and it's the Ballad of Hawkstone Grange. There is a character who was a wagoner, and his name was John Steele Ice Band. Well, his name was John Spann, I think, but they nicknamed him Steeleye.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a fight with the manager of the estate, and that's all that the song's about, really. I mean, the moral of the song is the fact that he hated the manager of the estate so much that he ruined his own life because of it. So, you know, the moral is don't hate, because you end up not a happy camper.
But the thing I'm wondering about is that this song came out last year.
Yes, it did.
Why was the band named after that particular?
Well, it just seemed like a good idea at the time. I think it was. I can't remember who it was. I think it may have been Martin Carthy, actually, before he was in the band. That was talking about Steele Ice Band.
Yeah.
And someone said that would be a good name for a band.
It's interesting to note that we've had a few emails here asking us about Steely Dan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The name sounds familiar, but
yes.
but there's no resemblance between either band.
No.
But it's interesting, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but Steel House Band's been around a long time.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will be around a long time more.
Yes, well, it will.
And I want to thank you, Peter Knight. And again, if you want to check out Peter Knight more carefully, you can go to peterknight.net on the internet. And we'll have a link to it at pmpnetwork.com. And go out and get the Steel Ice Spam Bedlam Born. As soon as it's officially released, I think it is today, we'll be able to get it on the PMP Network Superstation and the Superstore on our site, as well as probably Amazon.com and many of the other sites on the internet, and as your local store as well. What do you? One last question I'll ask you, because I ask everybody that writes songs and sings this particular question. What do you think of Napster and the whole internet development?
God, that's interesting, isn't it?
It is.
That's interesting. Well, what do I think about that? I got a question recently asked me, someone emailed me and said that there were some sort of Steel Ice Band tapes floating around, and nothing was being sold, but they were sort of bootleg tapes that people had taped on gigs and whatever. And there was a sort of that people were writing into this one place, and they were saying what they had and what concert it was, and they were swapping and doing all that. Well, to be totally honest, if someone smuggles in a cassette player or something into a gig, and they record the gig and it's for their own use, and they swap with other people and whatever, that doesn't actually worry me too much. It's when people start sort of earning money out of the songs that we write and the music. I don't... I was quite pleased when... Was it MP3.com lost their case?
No, Napster did.
Napster lost their case. Okay, well, I was quite pleased about that.
Well, the thing... You see, the thing is, though, but the theory that you were just saying about someone going in, recording it, and then swapping with their friends, that's really what Napster and MP3 were about.
Oh, absolutely.
But someone was making money. The person who owned the site, of course, because they were selling ads and stuff. But
absolutely.
But that's what it was about. But the problem is that if a million people swapped Steel Eye Span songs...
Yeah.
Then those million people probably aren't going to buy it,
especially
if they get the whole album. You know, if they're getting one song, they may actually go out and get the CD.
Oh, absolutely. I've heard all sorts of horror stories of a CD for sale with all the Beatles albums on or something for, like, you know, $5 or something. You know, no, we work very hard to produce the music and whatever, and that is how we earn our living, and that is part of how we earn our living. And for someone just to take it and use it is of course not fair.
No, I can see, you know, if they want to, you know, put a file that's a minute long somewhere and say, hey, listen to this, if you like it, go buy it.
Yes, absolutely.
That works well, but if you take
the whole album
and you throw it up there, that defeats the whole purpose.
Absolutely. Well, the internet's a wonderful thing, and particularly for creative people. I mean, it's given musicians and filmmakers and artists a tremendous sort of window out to the world there, you know, to show their work and whatever. I think it's absolutely fantastic, but it is early days really for the internet, and you know, it isn't sort of policed in the normal way, but gradually, you know, I mean, you're going to get crooks in any area of life. You know, and the internet's no different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was just reminded to me that in addition to peterknight.net that they should visit, there's also a parkrecords.com site that they can go check out the CDs that you've done.
That's right.
And actually order them directly to the record companies. So
that's right.
I will leave that up there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And thank you so much for joining us today, Peter, from Britain. And hope things go well for the group. They have so far. And I think I see things with this album over here even getting better.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye for now.